You're listening to the Men Overseas Podcast, a show that explores methods and ideas to help you live a bigger life. You will hear interesting stories of how people live, how they save and invest their money, and why having time wealth is better than being a billionaire. If you are entertained, educated, or elevated, be sure to hit the subscribe button. We're just getting started. Now here is your host, Brad D'Antonio.
All right, Morgan, don't use your gay voice, okay? This is the real deal. We're live. Cameraman, you ready? All right, let's get started. What do you want to talk about?
You go.
Where?
You pick the top.
You're divorced, right?
That's correct.
Is that hard on you?
It was extremely hard.
How long ago was that?
Separated from my ex-wife. Almost 4 years.
Separated and then officially divorced recently?
About a year after that.
And how long were you married?
Since 2015, so about 7.5 years.
So as you know, I work with a lot of guys that are about to be married. And I'm not going to say what's your best advice. What I'm curious about is every man, I think, has apprehensions. Their feet start to get a little cold if they wear flip-flops too often. And I want to know, did you have reservations beforehand?
Absolutely. But, you know, I'm in a unique situation where my ex-wife was a single mother of two. So that gave me some pause.
Okay. Let me tell you the funniest thing that's happened since I've been here. Okay. You were out in the pool one day and you told one of the guys, don't you ever date a woman with a child or marry a woman with a child because then you're raising another man's sperm. And then you found out that night, that guy that you were talking to was dating a woman with a child. And I said to you that night, or no, you told me about it. And I thought you were going to say, man, I felt so bad. Do you remember what you told me?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I said, I told him that because it was the right advice. And I'm not specifically talking about dating a single mother, but I just think that when you marry a woman who's already a mother, and it's not your children, you have 100% of the responsibility of providing for those children, but you don't have all of the say in how to raise them because the mother may have conflicting ideas.
Give me an example.
Let's say I do some yard work, cut the grass. I have 3 acres. It's a lot to maintain. South Louisiana heat's really, really pretty brutal. And tell my stepson, come outside and help me rake up some of these grass clippings.
I don't feel like doing that.
No, we're going to go do that. And then here comes mom to the rescue.
Oh, don't know. It's too hot.
But I've been outside for 2.5 hours about to drop a heat stroke, but little Nico, we can't send him out into the heat. That would just be inhumane. So it's things like that, kind of always second guessing or undermining.
But y'all don't talk about that? Like, hey, I need to have some authority here. Please respect my authority.
Well, you know, I tried. As I told you, there can only be one king of the castle. You know, I know I may not be a easy person to get along with. And
tell me about it.
I definitely made my mistakes in my relationship, and I accept at least 51% of the
fault.
The fault, and it's probably quite a bit higher, but it's difficult. It's really difficult to be in a relationship. And as these young children start getting older and a little bit more rebellious and they stay in their rooms all the time, it's pretty hard to keep that relationship going or improve it. And having your own biological child talk back to you isn't fun. But when you have a rebellious stepchild, it's even a harder pill to swallow. I'll give you another example because this was really one of the things that drove a serious wedge between my ex-wife and I. I work a job where I have to be at work for 4:30 a.m. So
when you're waking up at 3:40,
something like that.
Jesus. Every day.
Yeah. Well, when on days that I work. So one night, 2 o'clock in the morning, I start smelling smoke. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Is the house on fire? Do I have to get everyone out? Walk out the bedroom and I hear pots and pans in the kitchen. I'm like, what is going on? And it was my stepdaughter who I had never really taught to cook, but she's almost burning down the house trying to make a grilled cheese at 2 a.m. Like, the kitchen has been closed. You know, in my mind, the kitchen has been closed. So you hang the towel over the faucet in the kitchen sink. That's a sign. The kitchen is closed.
Did she know about that?
No, I'm just joking. Lots of people in the South have that as a, you know, if they put the top after the dishes are done after supper, you drape the towel over the faucet and that's a wrap.
You've heard of that, cameraman?
What?
I've never heard that in my life.
So
if I'm hungry, I'm eating.
Well,
I don't give a shit if stepdad put a towel over the faucet. Dude, I'm hungry.
It might have been different if she would have grabbed an apple, but she almost burned down a house at 2 a.m. trying to make a grilled cheese. So it was a serious issue.
So that's a serious issue between you and her. But what about the mom?
Well,
she didn't like the rules.
Yeah. And she. Yeah. Right. Right.
Because she was like, my baby's hungry.
I guess, essentially.
I'm kind of hoping my mom would come to my defense on that.
Well,
I just need to tone it down. If the kitchen is closed, I need to walk on my tippy toes, right? Put some eggshells down and walk on them around
maybe
you.
Maybe so.
Yeah. Oh, man. Are you a religious man?
I am religious. My parents were Catholic or Catholic. I attended Catholic school half of my life, you know, kindergarten through fifth, and then switched to a public school from 6th through my sophomore year, and then switched back to go back to a Catholic school my junior and senior year.
So you've been through all the sacraments?
I have.
You ever go to confession? A lot of people think that's weird, like that we go in and talk to a priest one-on-one like that and share all our secrets. Have you been to confession?
Yeah, I've been to confession. Have you been to confession? Have you
not in a long time. Sacraments? I haven't. So I left Catholic school in 8th grade. So I was not confirmed and my wife is not Catholic. So I didn't feel the need to go through all the classes. So we had a Mexican American wedding with religious influence is how I labeled it.
You know, I've struggled with my faith. I was an altar boy. I used to go to mass twice a week, once at school, once on the weekend. And that probably went on until my first or second year of college. And while it's happening, you're being spoon fed this stuff. This doctrine is being jammed down your throat. And it's kind of hard to even try to have a different perspective. But as I got a little bit older and I was away from home and maybe wouldn't disappoint mom if I didn't make it to Sunday mass, it became a less frequent thing to do. So it's something that, you know, it's had its peaks and valleys, and I'm coming back around to my Catholic faith. I've tried some other services, but it's kind of funny because the structure that I thought was pushing me away from the Catholic Church when I attended some of these other services, I think I mentioned this to you. It seemed kind of too relaxed. It was, you know, you show up to service and there's people with flip-flops and lattes and eating nachos. And I'm like, where am I? You know, and then the music starts and it's like a concert. And then the preacher it sounds like a comedy routine. I said, well, maybe I was wrong about the structure. Maybe I do like the structure. But getting back to your point about confession, yes, confession is an iffy thing for me. I went years, probably decades, without going to confession because I'm sure you're trying to get a story out of me about confession that we briefly talked about.
I don't know. I just think going to confession is weird. And I like to talk to Catholics about it. I feel like I haven't been to confession since I started sinning.
Well, as a Catholic, before the first Eucharist, you do your first reconciliation. And after that, I don't know if there's any requirement, but I'm sure it's expected to go to confession. And so up through high school, I was a good boy. I didn't have too many bad things to that I felt I really needed to get off my chest. But as I got older, not gonna say the sins started racking up, but you know, it wasn't just maybe sticky fingers on some now and laters, you know?
Yeah, you told me a story earlier, and I don't really remember it. Which story are you referring to?
You're talking in relation to confession?
Yeah.
Well, this is the kind of stuff you can't make up. I was on a retreat, a silent retreat, a Catholic retreat, and it was a 3-day retreat. My father invited me to this retreat.
Is this Acts?
No, this is actually Manresa.
Yeah.
It's a Jesuit retreat. And there's probably about 110 men that attend this retreat at a time. And there's a retreat master, and the retreat master gives lectures maybe a few times a day in this big kind of conference room. And the grounds are beautiful. It used to be an old college. I think it was Jefferson College. It was an all-girls college. I don't know the history, but huge towering oak trees, just a wonderful place to kind of get away from it all. And I guess the theory behind it is that it's so quiet, no one talks, and you listen to what God is trying to tell you. And so my dad had been probably attending this retreat for possibly 20-something years, and he invited me to attend the retreat that year. And as I mentioned, I kind of strayed away from my faith and wasn't attending Mass on a regular basis. So anyway, during this retreat, last day of the retreat, I'm just not feeling it. And out of desperation, I said, maybe I need confession. So the way this works is the retreat master has visiting times for spiritual counsel or reconciliation or whatever, I guess, retreatants would like to discuss with the priest. And you have to sign up, you know, maybe a little 15-minute block. Well, this was the last day. Retreat was almost over. They had, like, it was the final talk of the retreat. And they had somebody penciled in for a session with the priest right after the retreat. So I said, well, maybe I can sneak in before this other guy's appointment and do a quick confession. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. After the priest finished his talk, I kind of was, and most of these guys are really old. You know, these guys are not too spry. So maybe after the lecture, they may sit and ponder and meditate on what the priest just finished talking about. But so being one of the younger people, I kind of jumped up out of my seat and just kind of made a run for the, you know, to talk to the priest. So I asked him if he could hear my confession. And he said, sure, come on in. So here I am. I want to get all this stuff off my chest. So I just start going for it. I'm telling my sins and I'm going for it. There's a knock on the door. Don't worry, my son. Continue. So I'm like, yeah, Father, I had this chick bent over and, you know, I'm saying all this kind of stuff, just getting my sins out. And there's another knock on the door, a little bit louder, seeming a little more persistent. And he was like, don't worry about it, my son, continue. And here I am. I mean, I'm just going for it. Yeah, Father, this one time we were so tangled up, I thought we were going to get locked up like a couple of dogs. And finally, the guy just busted in. He's like, Father, you're mic'd up. You're mic'd up. So I'm giving a public confession. And that's the kind of shit. It's like
Does God have a sense of humor? Does he never want me to go to confession again? I felt like that was my free pass to never go to confession again. Why do things like that happen? I don't know, but
it's got to be a reason. Like maybe you sharing that story, maybe it'll go viral because everybody's going to love it.
So the thing about it was that, as I mentioned, my dad was attending this retreat. So then I was just filled with anxiety. It was like, well, is my dad still sitting down out there? How sensitive was the microphone? Was it so loud that he could distinguish my voice? Like, so all of these thoughts were just going through my head and I could not take it.
Yeah, I would have just asked him.
Well, yeah, so that's what I decided to do. What a mistake. And so I couldn't take it anymore. So I pulled him aside. I said, Dad, could you tell that was me? And he sounded like Scooby-Doo. He was like, that was you? So, oh, my goodness. What a big mistake. He didn't know, but he knew then. So we never spoke of it again.
You had to regret asking him in that way, right?
I mean,
that was you?
I couldn't go on without knowing if he knew it was me.
Could you tell that was me?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, after that point, I was like, lifetime exemption from confession. can anybody out there blame me?
But, so if I do go to confession after all these years, the first thing I'm going to do is, are you wearing a mic?
Make sure he's not mic'd up. You wouldn't think that would be something you would have to worry about.
I mean, you may as well have gone to the front of the church after the homily and said, okay, so I have this chick bent over.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So that's the way that went down. But actually, it was actually, I think, 2 or 3 years ago at another Manresa retreat, I actually did decide to go to confession again. And I actually attended retreat a few months ago, actually. And I actually made another confession, and I actually told the priest that story, and he thought it was pretty entertaining. And he also told me, that's why I don't wear a lapel mic. Why would you even do that? So, yeah, that's some pretty comical stuff. If it didn't happen to you, I could see how you think it's pretty damn funny. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man. So you cashed in your lifetime free pass. You wanted to go back to confession.
Well, as you mentioned, I was divorced and it wasn't an easy process to go through. And I definitely did some things that I wasn't proud of. And look, I'll just say that I don't believe that there has to be a middleman for God to forgive you. I truly don't. I think if you are sorry in your heart, then you are forgiven. But
it's cathartic, though, for another human to hear it, right?
Well, and being raised
that way,
I just kind of, I don't think it could ever get any worse than that first time. You know?
So, I can't imagine anything worse.
I had some things to get off my chest, and it was, I have a son who is now 7. Angelo is 7 years old, and when his mom and I split, parted ways, it was really hard to console him because he wanted his mom all the time. And I was just thrust into roles that I didn't really do on a regular basis. For example, his mom would bathe him every night. Maybe I had bathed him 4 or 5 times. It was like something that mom would do. And such a sudden break where lives are changed and he didn't understand it, and I could not console him. It was not easy. And, you know, I would lash out at him because of my anger. It was tough.
Divorce is tough. I went through it as a kid and swore that I was never going to go through it again. In fact, I joked that my parents were married, each of my parents were married 20 years and then 30 years a second time. So they've been married a total 50 years, 20 to each other and 30 years to other people. So I thought, Well, my dad married at 20, divorced at 40. I'm just going to skip the first one. Get married even I'm close to 40 and just make that be the one, because yeah, none of us wants to go through that. It's terrible. It's close to a death.
You know, Michael and I talk about this because Michael, your former teammate
and friend
and
podcast guest,
friend and podcast guest,
one of the best looking guys I know. He's got a great voice. You're talking about Michael Dalbar?
Michael Dalbar. Yeah, okay. He's just so happens to be my first cousin. Our moms are sisters. But he had gone through a divorce, and he really offered a lot of support. And, you know, I talked to him about this pretty recently because my family, I think, tried to be there for me, but for me personally, my divorce was the second hardest thing I've ever gone through in my life. And I don't think the average person can even begin to understand the emotional toll, the havoc that it wreaks, the pain, and then just the collateral damage of the children's feelings. It's definitely not a good thing to have to go through.
Are you dating again?
Dating has been tough. I've dated a couple of women for a couple of months at a time. Meeting people is a challenge for me because of my work schedule and my schedule keeping my son. Like every day that I get off of work, as soon as I get off of work, like an hour later, my son comes with me, and then he's with me on my days off, and the night before I go to work the next day, which I have to wake up at 3:40 a.m. So getting out.
I think he just said the same time I said exactly.
Yeah, because that's what time I get up.
Is that the time your alarm is set?
I wake up at 3:40 a.m.
How about that?
So it's hard to go out and try to meet people traditionally because I don't have a lot of time for myself, and I don't really trust myself to go out to traditional places that serve alcohol because I might get carried away, and 3:40 a.m. comes pretty early. So it's been challenging. And in addition to that, it has taken me a long time to truly heal, but things are really improving these last several months. I'm really kind of snapping out of it. And it's taken me a lot longer than I anticipated.
Has this retreat helped you at all?
Yeah, this retreat, I've never really experienced a retreat like this where guys who are striving to be the best they can be all come together. You know, my core friend group, who I wouldn't trade. I know people say, show me the five people you hang around with the most and I'll tell you who you are. You know, I have some friends who may not be the most highly motivated people or ambitious people, but my best friend in the world is, we've been friends since preschool. And if he came here, he wouldn't get it. He wouldn't get what we're doing. But I'm okay with that. But when you put me in this scenario with guys who are trying to elevate, level up, be the best they can be, it's infectious, and you want to surround yourself with more people like that. That'll bring you up.
Definitely.
So thanks for having me on this, because I know I'm not one of the usual guys that you work with a lot. So I appreciate the invite.
That's true. Well, you're welcome. I appreciate you being here. You've made excellent contributions, because despite the fact that he looks 36, he is 39.
Yeah, 39 and a half.
Dude's 50 years old. I told my wife, and she says, well, make sure you come home with his skin routine. I said, he's from, where are you from?
I'm from the dirty south, Donaldsonville, Louisiana, is where I was raised.
That's right. I couldn't remember if you were from Plaquemine or Donaldsonville. I said, he's from Donaldsonville, Louisiana. They probably don't even have Ultas there. Like, he doesn't have a skincare routine. He's just lucky.
Well, regarding the handsome baby face, I guess I am.
Well, you know, a lot of guys after divorces, they go Asian. You thinking about that?
Wouldn't want to rule it out.
What is it about an Asian?
Personally, I don't think I've ever been with an Asian. But I think the appeal is the submissive nature of an Asian.
Do you think it's a problem that women aren't more submissive in today's world?
Absolutely. It's like the downfall of our society. One of the big downfalls of our society. I really do believe that.
I believed you the first time. You don't have to convince me you were serious.
Well, I just think that I don't want to come off as chauvinistic, but I think a child benefits the most with a mother at home. And when you have the woman's movement who trying to have the career, trying to move up the corporate ladder, women who put career first, which is totally their prerogative. I'm not saying that women shouldn't do that, but I think because so many women have done that, I think society is not for the better because the children are our future. Tacky as that sounds.
You ought to write a song about that.
Yeah, man. I don't think it's been done before.
What do you make of men? Are they much less leader-like, like maybe a little more feminine than they used to be?
Well, since you outed me as being 50 years old, I'm kind of out of touch with the younger generation, but it sure seems that way to me.
What is that? Why?
Maybe it's a spinoff of kind of the flip side of what we were just talking about the feminist movement.
It's the worst form of cancer.
It truly is. And there's so many single mothers that children are growing up without a father figure. And it's, as I mentioned, man, it's terrible for society. The nuclear family, the dissipation of that, it's just, to me, it's evident.
So if you met the perfect submissive Japanese woman tomorrow, but she had a 12-year-old, that was kind of a pain in the ass, but this woman was perfect. She would cook and clean and rub your back at night. She'd love you a long time. Would you dismiss her out of hand? Because I ain't raising another man's sperm.
No, I'm done. I've made that mistake in my job. In fact, I feel so adamantly about it that it's probably the best advice I've given all week to anyone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and the guy you gave the advice to looked real disappointed, went for a walk by himself, and I felt bad. I know you didn't feel bad because it was the right advice.
I hope he realizes that before it's too late.
Don't you think every situation is different? Like, yes, what if that kid looks up to you and admires you and he wants to be like you? That'd be different, right?
Look, I'm just, generally speaking, I think guys should try to find a single woman without children. I just think the odds of success and overall happiness would be better.
So you'll have to go young then. It's a good thing you held on to your youthful appearance because you ain't going to find two women your age or even 10 years younger who don't have a child.
That's true. And I have these kind of, I just finished having that conversation with Michael. Another problem why I'm not actively dating is that the women who I would consider appropriate age for my interest are probably come with baggage.
Don't we all?
The kind of baggage that I'm said I'm not going through again.
What about a nice little Tika from here? Would you take her back to the States and marry her?
I'd take her back. I don't know if I'd marry her.
All right, let's do fun questions because we only got about 20 minutes left. If you could create a new holiday that celebrates a unique aspect of human nature, what would it be?
It would have to be something to celebrate natural, holistic food.
Oh, that's a good one. We might see that soon. And that explains your youthful appearance. It was revealed.
Why do you say that?
Why do I say what?
That's a good one. It might be revealed soon. like the holiday.
Because of RFK?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hopefully I have high hopes for that.
Yeah. If you could switch lives with anyone for one day, let's say Monday when you get back, just to experience what their life is like, who would it be?
Have some.
And would you have sex with your wife that night?
With his wife?
How is it impossible for anybody to get this joke? It's so basic. I'm asking you,
I think I'm who pretty you would smart, be. Man.
And once you become that person for a day, you might just sleep with your wife. So that it's a joke. But nobody's laughing. Come on.
Drawing a blank because now I'm trying to think of a woman.
Well, you want to draw blanks that night.
I'm always drawing blanks these days, pal.
You look young, but. All right. You want to move on?
Sure.
All right. Is there a book that's most impacted your life?
Oh, man. I wish I had a cheat sheet for these.
Or had read a book.
What a dick. Say the Bible.
That's what the last guy, no, two guys ago, he said that, but he gave me a backup because that one's kind of, everybody's favorite.
Okay, one that I read recently, The Greatest Salesman in the World.
Oh, my goodness. The last guy said that.
You full of shit.
Ogmandino. Yeah. He called him the OG because that's his name. Yeah.
So I struck out twice?
I'd like another one, but if you don't have one, it's cool that.
I'm reading a book right now called The Mountain Is You. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's, I think her name is Brianna Weiss or something like that. This is a young woman and it's kind of philosophical, but it's definitely made me think about things quite a bit. I don't know if I agree with all of the, if you do this, then this, but there's definitely some substance there.
That's the most vague shit I've ever heard. What's the premise of the book?
I'm not far enough in.
Oh, it's definitely made me think about things.
the premise of the book is that you have to get out of your own way. Like, you're holding yourself back. You have to clear the fog and all the shit that's holding you back to move forward.
In what ways are you holding yourself back?
Well, coming out of a divorce, until recently, I felt like I was taking a long time to heal, but I feel that I'm finally, the scab is almost finished.
And is the almost what prompted you to buy the book?
No, I don't even know why I bought the book. Somebody, I heard somebody else talk about it. Somebody on YouTube said, check this out. I said, sure, I'll check it out. She's like a best-selling author. She's written, I bought two books that she wrote. I think one of them is 100 essays. I don't remember because I just bought these books. So.
What's the most valuable piece of advice you've ever had? While you're thinking, something interesting that happened between you and I. You asked me the other night, you said that I was observational, very observational, and you wanted to know what was your biggest weakness. And do you remember what I told you?
You asked me what I thought my biggest weakness was.
Well, that's what came later. But I said to you, first of all, I was flattered you asked, I guess because I'm coach and the host of the retreat. And maybe you heard that I'm observational or maybe you saw me observing people. I don't know. But I told you that if you had a glaring weakness, because I thought about it for like 30 seconds and I'm like, yeah, I got nothing. So, but if you had a glaring weakness, the fact that I couldn't think of anything means it's not glaring. So then I asked you, you probably wouldn't have asked me the question unless you had a weakness you were concerned about and maybe wondered if others, maybe if someone who's observational perceived it.
Right.
So therefore, there must be something that you're concerned about.
Well, I think there's always room for self-improvement. But what I was actually referring to is that you and I had never met personally until earlier this week. And I didn't really see the side of you interacting with these guys the first 2 days we met, going through the travel, the airport and that kind of stuff. And I guess I was trying to compliment you because I didn't realize how deep you were.
Thank you. So I take it as a compliment.
Yeah. So that's because when I got to this house and I saw the way you interacted with these guys and the impact that you've had on these guys and the relationships that you have, how close you guys are and how freely you can speak, maybe give advice. I didn't necessarily see that aspect of you during the first 2 days. So I'm not going to say I felt like you were holding something back, but I didn't realize that you had it in you.
No, that's interesting. I do think we're different people in different environments. And yeah, I do have a special relationship with these guys. As I've said, I've spent 500 hours on the phone with some of these guys and I've never met them. So it's very exciting to meet them. And yeah, it makes sense that you could tell that we've had a lot of candid discussion leading up to this. So it's interesting to get your observations being someone who hasn't interacted with me much. And I appreciate you saying that because if I had a goal, if I had to set a goal, I would think it would be to achieve what you're talking about, where people believe that they can speak freely and trust that I'm going to keep it confidential if that's what they request and give the best advice that I can. So thank you for saying that. Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. All right. Let's continue with fun questions. So
I don't like this, man.
If Donald Trump asked you for your best advice, if he invited you to the Oval Office and said, Morgan, give me your best advice, what would you tell him?
I'd tell Donald to keep up the good work and keep doing what he's doing to reclaim our country. I truly don't see how anyone who's an American citizen can disagree with some of his policies to try to improve the United States position in the global environment. I mean, I just don't get what's so bad about Donald Trump. I think he has the best interests of this country in mind. I understand Donald Trump rubs a lot of people the wrong way. I think he's egotistical. I think he could definitely be more polished, but I think that's what resonates with a lot of people. They're tired of the bullshit in DC, man. Nothing's getting done. And I feel that if Donald Trump would have lost this past election, that I don't know if another Republican would ever, it would be the end of a two-party democracy in the United States. The way the previous administration was bringing in millions upon millions of thugs, murderers, criminals, and implanting them in the middle of the night in swing states to try to be able to swing the elections blue. It's just, I mean, I feel like he saved this country. And so, yeah, I would tell him to keep up the good work.
How about flying in millions of people? I think they only flew in like 350,000 or something.
Well, once they were here, they were flown across
or bust
to get to strategic demographic locations to try to flip the vote.
Yeah, and we know about 350,000 were flown in, and then probably 10 to 20 million more were crossing on foot, but what do you think about them having to give each of them due process when they just flew millions of people in? Are we supposed to hold a trial for each one of them? Or
absolute horse shit. They're not citizens of the United States. They don't deserve the same rights as a United States citizen. These people, I mean, how preposterous that the previous administration welcomed these people in with open arms. Meanwhile, countries in, you know, Central America are emptying their prisons with the worst offenders, worst people of their country, and sending them here.
Why wouldn't you? Can you blame them?
I don't blame them. But to say that they deserve due process, but before being deported, that's a terrible policy. And Look, I'm not a huge political guy. I don't understand how one judge can stop the will of the president of the United States. I think that guy just got shot down by the Supreme Court. I think that's what somebody just told me. So,
well, what you're talking about, all these people who don't like what Donald Trump is doing, do you think that ties into what you were saying earlier about the lack of father figure and the disrespect for men and the feminization of men? Do you think that they're so turned off by him because things had gone so sideways in that regard with the nuclear family and everything?
I don't want to be too polarizing, more so than I already have, but I lost my train of thought on that. What did you say? Can you rephrase that about the nuclear family?
What I was saying is, what you said earlier about how we were getting away from the nuclear family, yeah. And then you talked about the hate for Donald Trump. I was asking, like, do you think that strong leaders, in other words, like the masculine archetype, we've gotten so far removed from that, that once they get somebody in office who wants to solve problems, like that's so new to them, so foreign to people who've never seen it before, that it's an instant turnoff.
Yeah, it's a terrible downfall of the youth of this country. I think I'm slightly above average intelligence. That's how I rate myself. But I think people are too influenced by the media, too indoctrinated from a young age to learn how to think for themselves. And it's a terrible problem. I mean, the trans movement. How many people were truly trans? How many people in their brain were truly trans before somebody told them it was the cool thing to do? 0.02% of the population?
You think TikTok has something to do with that? You think the Chinese are infiltrating?
Quite possibly. I mean, I've always been opposed to social media and have only lately come around to the idea of being open to social media. But TikTok, as it began as a dance app, I thought it was ridiculous. But since then, the evolution of TikTok, now it is tremendous. There is tremendous business opportunity on TikTok. So I think TikTok is making millionaires. And I think it's really contributing to the U.S. economy. But getting so in that regard, I think there are benefits to TikTok. But I think TikTok should have been shut down before we got to this point. But now that I see that there are actual benefits for United States citizens as a way to make money on TikTok as an entrepreneur, I think it can be a beneficial thing. But I think it should have been yanked long before we got to this point.
What's the best quality a girlfriend or wife could have?
Well, we talked about being feminine, submissive, but I think a genuine desire to want to help others. What about you?
That's a good one. I like all three. I'll put them 1A, 1B, 1C. What else?
You go.
You go. That happened the other night. We were talking and we almost interrupted each other. And I said, no, you go ahead. And you said, no, you go. And I said, no, really, you go. And you go, okay.
Okay.
And then I think we switched topics.
Yeah, we were trying to feel each other out, man. We were trying to feel each other out.
And then the next morning you told people, me and Brad bonded last night.
Did you not feel the same? Did you not? Because I really felt like that was a moment to say, like, I have a connection with you now.
Well, you wouldn't be here on a microphone if we hadn't. Well, let me tell this story real quick. So he comes in my room the other night so we can talk. And I'm laying on an ice pack because I have a neck issue. And I'm laying on one side of the bed and he's just prancing around the room. Not really. I'm kidding. He was pacing around the room while we're talking. And I said, man, you can lay right here if you want. And he goes, no, I'm not going to lay on your bed with you. And I was like, well, your cousin, you know, we played ball together in college. We had to share hotel rooms. We probably shared a bed. So, you know, just don't fall asleep if you lay there. And then he was like, oh, can you imagine if I fell asleep and you guys come down in the morning, go on retreat in Costa Rica the first morning? The coach is in bed with another dude, one of the guests. Oh, and they got an empty room next to him.
Yeah, we had a good time, man. That we shared a lot of laughs. That's what I said, cemented our bond.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's go on that sunset hike at the Mirador. You want to?
Sounds great.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it.
If somebody wanted to contact you, how would they do it?
Email mptrox@gmail.com.
And you know how to find me, manoverseas.com. I'm on the socials too. Thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, send it to a buddy. Just copy the link and text it to him or something. And we'll catch you next time. Thank you, folks.